You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles, Series 4, Episode 4.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 20th of May, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello.
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 Hi. Hiya.
Hi.
Hiya.
Sup.
Hello.
And in the week that a pushchair company in America made an adult-sized version so you can test ride before you buy.
In a week where the University of East Anglia here in the UK has banned throwing mortarboard hats in the air because of health and safety concerns.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And also in the week where police in the West Midlands sparked confusion on social media when they blurred the faces of victims of crime who happened to be sheep.
Sheep.
Wow.
Sheep. Wow. But in all of those weeks, it's the Geekly Chronicles. It's episode 4.
Yeah, exciting.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
It is. I
had another thing and it completely disappeared. But
there we go.
We're back again.
We have a show. We do.
It's got some fun stuff in it.
Yep, so coming up on the show tonight, we have all of the usual features. So we've got Game of Geeks coming up for you later, where I believe I'm losing.
Yes, you are.
So need to try and claw back from the clutches of Chris there. We've got another Would You Fund It tonight. We've got a very special guest joining us later to talk to us about Doctor Who. And we've got some cool Doctor Who-related stuff coming up soon. The Tumble Fumble, as always, and lots of chat, your requests, well, a bit of everything, really.
Just so we know, The Clutches of Chris is definitely going to be the title of my next studio album.
Of course it is. And so, how can people make requests and get involved?
People can make requests and get involved in all sorts of ways. You can join our chat, which is right under the player on the website at gkly.co, or the GKLY channel on Freenode. If you type an exclamation mark, then the word request, then a space, then some words about what song you want us to play, then we will do so. You can also tweet us. We are at GKLYCO on Twitter, or get involved on Facebook or via text.
Yep, so any way you can find to contact us, you know, tell us what songs you'd like to hear. We will happily play your requests. We'll even read you out a little message if you tell us as well. A little dedication for you.
Aww.
We're nice like that.
I believe that's what the kids call a shout-out.
A shout-out. Well, I am shouting out my love for you. All of you listeners, you're wonderful.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
It's like the Go Compare guy, only less annoying and more tuneful.
Well, I love that song. It's very upbeat, up-tempo.
It is. A nice first song.
Yeah, lots of interesting instruments, as is interesting.
I like an interesting instrument.
Okay, moving on.
Before you even go down that road.
So we have this regular feature called Would You Fund It, where each week we pitch a new idea to you, the audience, and see if you would fund it. Not personally, we're not asking you for any money here, but if this was on some kind of crowdfunding thing, would you be interested in funding? In funding?
Thundering it.
Thundering it. In funding it. I can talk, honestly. So,
always handy for radio.
So we've each had a turn now. We're each kind of pitching, each of us taking turns every week. We've each had a turn. I won the first one, then Catherine lost one, then Chris won one last week.
Yeah,
and it's back to me again.
It is. So
would you like to hear my idea?
Oh, yeah.
I dread to think, but go on.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about nursery rhymes recently.
Because of course you have.
Well, no, I mean, they just seem really out of date. I mean, it's 2016.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh, God.
And I don't really feel like there have been any new nursery rhymes for a while. I feel
Do
like
you
all
mean
the ones...
fairy tales?
Fairy tales, that's it. Yeah, not nursery rhymes, fairy tales. I kind of...
feel like
nursery rhymes are timeless.
Yes. I kind of feel like fairy tales haven't really been updated and modernized, and you know, Disney's trying to do an okay job of like, hey, let's bring this up to date and make a Disney film about it, but they're still quite old fashioned. And I thought, what would it be like if we actually brought a fairy tale into the modern age, but not just the modern age as you know, rich people in LA that are TV and film producers see it. Like, bring a fairy tale.
I'm sure they're all listening.
Bring a fairy tale to the streets.
What?
So there's a phenomenon here in the UK called the Cheeky Nandos. And not everyone around the world gets it, but having a cheeky Nando's with your mates, with your lads, it's kind of a thing that people do. And I go to Nando's, but there's nothing particularly cheeky about it. And I'm not a lad.
You know, these people can read your Twitter, don't you?
Yeah. So I thought, you know, what would a fairy tale look like for the average person that goes to Nando's? And, you know, just kind of thought to myself, all right, well, let's update a fairy tale. And this is what my pitch is tonight. So you've heard of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right?
Yes, I'm vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Okay. What if it was Bantilocks and the Three Lads?
Bantilocks.
Bantilocks, yeah, because it's full of banter.
And lads, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. So do you not think that might be a vaguely acceptable pitch?
Vaguely.
I'd have to hear it first.
All right, well.
I think I'd need to know more.
Well, here is my pitch for Bantilocks and the Three Lads here on Would You Fund It? So, like, once upon a time, there was this brev named Bantilocks, who is, like, the Archbishop of Banterbury. Well, anyway, like, Bantilocks was, like, bare bored one day and was like,
I'm bare bored, so I'm going to go walk through this estate, innit?
After, like, some time or something, she came across this house and said,
oh, Wagwan, it's a house?
She started knocking and knocking and knocking on the door, like,
you what, mate? These jokers ain't even home.
So Bantilocks, like, being a total Bantasaurus Rex, decided to go into the house and have a gander. And, like, in the kitchen, there were these free pairs of Nike kicks from, like, JD's or something. Bantilocks was, like, proper after a new pair of Nikes, so she thought,
whatever, brev, I'm going to try these bad boys on.
So she tried on the first pair of kicks.
Oh, mate.
She said,
these shoes are bear tight, innit?
So she tried the next Nikes, right, and was like,
what, mate, these shoes are well big now. Oh, my days.
So she went up to the last Nikes, right, and she thought,
whatever, I don't even want you now, but okay.
And you know what, brev? Those Nikes were bare perf, man. Bare perf. So she nicked them. And, like, after she'd half-inched the kicks, she'd totally found on the table, so it wasn't, like, proper bad or nothing. Bantilocks was feeling bare hungry. There weren't a Macca's around the estate because she never saw one when she started walking, so she thought,
what have these goons got in the kitchen? I'm Ankh Marvin, man. Ankh Marvin.
So she opened the fridge light, and what did she find, mate? What did she find in the fridge, mate? Leftovers from some epic, cheeky Nando's. Bantilocks was all like,
oh, mate, this ass is top.
And she opened the first box of leftovers to see what was there.
Ugh, this is butters,
she said.
All that's in here is some proper Manc macho peas.
It was, like, proper gross, right? So she opened up the second box and was like,
what even is this, bruv? It's like mouldy chips.
But she was still, like, bare hungry and needed some grub, right? So she thought,
oh, hey, what's in this other box?
So she opened it up and there was this whole bit of Nando's butterfly chicken, right? So she was like,
oh, mate, this is cheeky. Let's smash it.
And she did. Bantilocks was well warm by now, so she was like,
I'm, like, well bushed, innit?
And she looked around and saw, like, free beds. So she was just like,
whatever, mate, I've already got the kicks and smashing Nando's. Tom is going to take some bare sleep right here.
But what she didn't know, like, is the house was owned by these three top lads. Well, like, it wasn't owned by the top lads. It was, like, the top lad's mum who owned it and let the lads, like, crash there because she was, like, bare cool in it.
Brev,
said the first lad,
someone's taken my kicks.
You what, mate?
Said the second lad as he noticed the empty cheeky Nando's box in the kitchen.
You know what, brev? Someone's taken my butterfly chicken from last night's cheeky bants, mate.
Lads, lads.
Said the third lad.
If someone's been in here, I'll call my cousin, yeah? And he'll, like, come over and totally mess him up, right?
But just then, the three lads, like, heard Bantilox's phone go off in the other room. It was like that ringtone that's a bit like Beyonce, only it's not.
Brivs.
Said the first lad.
Someone's in the lad pad.
So they all walked into the next room and saw Bantilox, like, proper snoring on one of the lads' beds. And one of the lads was like...
Wait up, lads. She's well fit, innit?
And lad three was like...
Yeah, man, she's basic. But she's wearing your kicks, mate.
Just then, Bantilox woke up and was all like...
You what, mate? Who are you, jokers?
And the lads were like...
You're the joker, mate. This is our lad pad.
So she was like...
Got any snacks, mate?
And they were like...
We can get some from, like, Callum up the road. He's an absolute ledge.
And she was like...
Let's go spoons.
And the lads were like...
Nah, let's go for cheeky Nando's.
And she was like...
Top. Proper grizzly in it.
And that was the end, like...
In it.
So...
Oh, my God.
What do you think? What do you think?
Let's just take a moment to consider what we've just witnessed.
Am I funding a book or some kind of theatre?
I reckon we could turn this into a film. But, you know, if it's not a film, it could be a book, it could be a play. I reckon this could even be dinner theatre in Nando's.
Oh,
to educate the Nando's generation. So, you know, a troop of quote-unquote lads would go into Nando's and act this whole thing out, and it would be educational. Hmm. So, you know, educate the masses with new...
bring back the fairy tale.
New fairy tales. Yeah, fairy tales rewritten for a new generation.
Well...
that's my idea.
So, if, despite... everything you've just heard, you think this should be funded? Or in fact, if you think it shouldn't, you can vote by heading to gkly.co/fundit or heading over to our Twitter, because there's a Twitter poll, and just vote on whether or not you think that this should be funded and produced and inflicted upon the world, or if you think it should never be spoken of again.
You're all right there. You're struggling to get the words out. Has this affected you?
Yes. If you have been affected by any of the issues in tonight's Geekly Chronicles,
if you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed on tonight's show, then you're bear sick in it, bruv.
Okay. I suppose if people have got any ideas of other fairy tales that should be rewritten and what you know,
yes,
they might be called
do
as part of the
know.
Project, yep, that would be a good thing to let us know.
Yep, indeed. We can lad up all of these fairy tales.
We've got mixed reaction in the chat room so far, I'm noticing. Dweeb loves it and wants us to take their money, whereas Lassie Nessie says, my ears, presumably with more pain than that.
Wow.
I was expecting one of the two of you to say something.
You started almost as though you had something to say.
Ah. Well, I kind of want to go back to my in the week wear statement earlier, because, you know, the University of East Anglia has banned throwing mortarboard hats in the air because of health and safety concerns.
This is an interesting story, isn't it? Because, you know, that's your graduation day tradition. Everyone... flings their pointy hat.
No, I did. I threw my mortarboard in the air to...
Like you just didn't care.
Like I just didn't care. Oh, yes. So, yeah.
I have no memory of this. I mean, obviously, I have memories of this happening in, like, TV and stuff, but it never happened for me.
It did. So we were on our kind of amphitheatre, and there was some... you know, there was a place for us to take the photos, and we did a couple of serious ones, and then we did a couple with us throwing our hats in the air, and it was quite fun. Nobody got injured.
Much?
No, not at all. Nobody got injured the year that we did it. No. They stopped making them out of razor blades the year before, so that was
helped.
Obviously a big help. But it was... it just seems to me that so many things seem to be getting cancelled unnecessarily because of health and safety.
Yeah, but it's not like it's something you have to take part in if you think, one of these things could take my eye out.
Yeah,
you could just not do it.
Yeah.
I did see this week an excellent video about this story that Sky News had done. And basically, they'd sent a poor old reporter out to go and test whether or not mortarboards hurt when they land on you. And she was wearing a hard hat, that Sky News had provided.
Wow.
And
so it's just not going to be a very fair experiment, is it?
And just was just kind of flinging a mortarboard up in the air to see if, you know, it hurt when it landed.
Well, that's one way of doing it. But they've come up with a solution, the University of East Anglia. And that is
marshmallow mortarboards?
No.
That's an idea. A would you fund it right there?
What about marshmallow mortarboards? That's a nice alliteration right there.
Well, marshmallow my mortarboard.
Oh, indeed. But the University of East Anglia will charge you £8 to Photoshop the mortarboards into your graduation photo for you.
What?
So if you mime it, they'll add
They'll mime everyone throwing their hats up in the air, and then they'll Photoshop the actual hats.
So if you've got a group of, say, 20 students, and they will mime throwing their mortarboard in the air, and one of them then doesn't pay their £8, so there are only 19 hats in the picture.
Yeah, I want to know if they charge per hat.
Yeah. Like, you all mime throwing your hats up, but only one of you paid for the picture, so there's going to be one hat. It's like you're all reaching for a hat.
It's like the bouquet at a wedding. You're like, one person can catch the hat.
Only one person catch the mortarboard.
And the person that catches graduates. So.
But I wonder if there have been any other ridiculous things that have been cancelled due to health and safety. Or cancelled or called off.
I'm sure there are many.
So, I mean, listeners, if you've ever heard of one, please do let us know. But
international knife juggling tournament, I'm sure.
Always. Yeah, I used to do fire breathing outside local schools and they stopped me doing that.
The worrying thing is I really believe you right now.
Yeah, I never know what to...
Rah, rah.
Yeah, what's real and what's made up.
No, I've never breathed fire. I've always been tempted. But the stuff that you have to drink to then spit out to actually make the flames go.
The petrol.
It's not petrol. It's like when you do it, like, officially, there's some other stuff. So it doesn't, like, it's designed so that you don't end up hurting yourself. But also apparently it's got a nicer taste to it. But I thought it tasted terrible. So I tried it once and never again.
I was the same with guacamole.
I have to read out this quote.
Please.
I'm just looking at a news article about the mortarboard throwing. So one of the students said, if I've paid £45 to hire a bit of cloth and card for the day, I should be able to chuck my hat in the air. It's nothing worse than the weekly ritual of dodging VKs as they're lobbed across the LCR dance floor.
Wow. Yeah, to be fair.
I don't understand what half of those words are.
VKs is a popular drink.
I'm sure lads.
Among lads
would
and
drink
so on.
A VK?
The LCR, it helpfully says here, is the lower common room.
Ah.
So yeah, not getting bottled in the student union bar is essentially the same as dodging mortarboards on graduation day.
Oh, nice work then, nice work. But I mean, thinking back to our lads as well, we've had a few people talk about their casting, you know, if they were to do casting for Bounty Looks and the Three Lads. Sean Connery, Billy Connolly as a lad.
All right.
And maybe Judi Dench to play Bounty Looks, given she is Bear Dench.
This is true. This is true.
So proper what a great... proper Dench. So what a great set of people that is. Chris, a pushchair company, made an adult-sized pushchair.
They did. You are correct.
Really?
It is... I'm trying to remember.
This.
No.
Although
no.
I'm not sure... I mean, this thing is huge. So I don't know who or how they push it.
So it was the... Contours is the name of the pushchair made by the company Colecraft in the US. And they thought, you know, your baby can't tell you if a pushchair is comfortable or not. So... And it, you know, an adult's not going to fit in there and find out. You can kind of squidge the padding and see if it feels nice. But they figured it would be better to just build a full adult-sized version of this pushchair.
I want to know what the logic behind that was. What meeting was there where people thought, oh, you know what might be a good idea? Let's make a pushchair for adults.
I don't know, but whoever it was deserves a raise, definitely, because there's like a special...
I wouldn't ever want to ride in this thing. Are you saying you would?
Oh,
absolutely.
It would be so comfortable. There's a video that Contours released.
I'd still ride in a little one if I'm given half the chance.
Wow.
Well,
you know, if my bum would fit.
There's a video that they released of adults and, you know, parents to be and so on trying out this giant pushchair that they put out on YouTube, and it is incredibly comfortable. If the adults on the video are to be believed, they say they're very much enjoying it. They try like the sunshade hood thing, and they can get pushed around because there's a special handle for them. And
so, who does pushing?
Presumably, a Contours representative.
I think I would want a big, like, juice sippy cup as well. So
yes.
That I could have refreshment as
yes.
I was pushed around.
I want
a sippy cup full of whiskey.
Because you know how some pushchairs have,
like
that
squash or something.
That thing on the front where there's, like, a cup holder and stuff. If there was a giant one of them where you could put your big juice sippy cup,
well,
that would make
you know
this
how
perfect.
Some pushchairs have mobiles that come over with, like, things hanging off them?
Yeah.
You just need to have that, but with a tablet that's
yes.
got, like, Plex on it so you can watch stuff as well.
You yes, literally if I can just Netflix from my pushchair.
Yes, then this yep. sit there watching Netflix being pushed around town.
Yeah, I could get on board with this. And, well, if you want to try it out and you happen to be in the Chicago area, I believe. I think that's where it's going next. But
it's just a short 6.5 hour flight from here.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
If the wind's blowing in the right direction.
Yeah.
Chicago, a park in Chicago will be the next to try this out on the 7th of June. So all the details are online. Get down to that park. There will be a very long queue, judging by the reaction that this has had from expecting parents.
I just don't understand this.
Do you have to prove that you're an expecting parent before you can ride?
I don't think they check. I think it's for anyone that wants
just
to go in a big
stuff a few cushions up your jumper and away you go.
You don't need, I just couldn't. I'm not showing yet. You know, it's not. You don't have to. You know. Oh, I'm pregnant, therefore I massively have a bump all of a sudden. No, I could just not be showing yet.
Or you could still be trying.
Early stages. Yeah. Still trying. I mean, I'm very much showing, but that's my food baby more than anything else right now.
Which, hopefully, we won't be pushing around in a stroller.
This is true.
Maybe.
So, you know, this...
Well, that went on a very terrible tangent. Catherine's now just sat here laughing to herself in the corner, kind of bashing her head against the soundproofing of the studio. You all right there, Catherine?
Yeah.
You took that one a bit too far, didn't you?
So, yeah, I personally can definitely get on board with this. I would happily ride a giant pushchair around town.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I think everyone would envy us.
If we should get one of those double ones.
Or a triple one.
Or a triple one for the three of us, yeah.
The geekly pushchair.
Oh my God, absolutely. This has to happen
now.
Who
would push it?
How wide would that be? I'm sure we could guilt a member of the team into taking us around town.
Just throw a motor under it.
Yeah. Why not? I mean...
How would we steer?
Certainly be.
Why don't we just buy a car?
Controls.
Why don't we just buy a car?
Because it wouldn't be as comfortable. We wouldn't have a giant sippy cup in it. so many perks to the giant pushchair. I don't know why you're not as on board with this as Catherine and me are.
I just don't want to be pushed around in a giant pushchair.
But why not?
I don't want to be in a pushchair. I'm going to throw my toys out the bro. Wait, hang on.
Oh, God.
All right, well, maybe
at
we
least
should...
we get the rubbish pun out early in the show.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have another request and forget about this story for a while now. This song has been requested by Penman in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room already, you can go into the chat room on the website, just underneath the live player, or you can just hit up the GKOY channel on Freenode IRC.
Hit up. The Banty Locks and the lads have got to you, haven't they?
Thanks. You're just going to criticise everything I say now, bruv.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like the hoverboard from Back to the Future, only we exist.
I love that song.
It's an excellent song. Thank you, Penman, for requesting
it. Yes, indeed.
As I said in the chat room, when it was requested, Penman knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So, sheep.
Catherine, this one's on you.
Is it? Okay.
Well, you said something about sheep earlier, so I was hoping you had some...
Let's
some...
have all the banter. What? That was a sheep
I give
noise.
Oh, dear.
Banter.
Anyway.
Okay.
Do tell.
So this was West Midlands police rescuing some lambs from suspected rustling. Sheep rustling is when people steal sheep.
Oh, right, not obviously. Like rustling of paper, which
no,
seems
they haven't
like
just gone
weird
up to the sheep and kind
thing
of tried to make their coats make noise. yeah.
Sheep rustling. That's basically all it is.
That might be what it sounds like. But so
I need a better rustling sound effect. Hang on. I think I got it.
Yeah.
Sheep rustling.
Oh dearie me.
Carry on.
Anyway.
So, moving on.
Carry on.
So these were lambs, so obviously, you know, young sheep. So the police pixelated their faces due to their age and vulnerability.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
A joke, apparently.
What?
One would hope.
The amount of police time wasted on blurring out the faces of the sheep. They could have caught, like, six murderers in that time.
I think it's a relatively quick Photoshop job.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They probably have a special just pixelate button.
Pixelate.
Kind of, I was about to say, pixelate. I kind of want to imagine that in
pixelate
the voice of Nicholas Briggs.
Anyway,
we need a button for that.
Well, that's quite amusing, really.
It is.
I mean, it just lends itself to thousands of puns, as the article in the BBC that I'm looking at, which we have tweeted, mm-hmm. Goes to show. It would be an animal rights issue if they didn't blur the images, apparently, according to the police force.
Right,
if you say so.
Yeah, and
wow.
Someone there has tweeted about the police showing a criminal sense of humour.
Oh, dear.
Indeed. And Elena Vision...
The Geekly Chronicles.
Sorry, I didn't realise you weren't finished.
No, generally when I continue talking, I...
There was one comment on Facebook that said, I wondered why the pictures looked a bit woolly.
Oh, dearie me. Elena Vision wonders...
All the puns.
Wonders if the police are trying to pull the wool over our eyes, or if sheep lads would go on Unilam...
Very good.
The Geekly Chronicles.
Got it right that time.
Now hit that button.
So speaking of Elenovision, what did we have on Saturday? We did an extra show this week.
We did, because it was
week.
Eurovision.
Yep. How did you find it?
It was exciting.
It was pretty epic. It was the longest show we have ever done, wasn't it?
It was fun. Yeah, and we had Elenovision, Scattermoon, however you would like to categorise on the show. But there was one thing that we didn't quite get around to doing on the Eurovision show. Scattermoon had been in, Elenovision had been in the place
Sweden.
That
place
the Eurovision...
Sweden.
There we go. Had been in Sweden.
We've got this in the notes, yeah.
Brought us back some Swedish chocolate called...
Plop.
Plop.
And so we've got Plop. We've got the Plop in the studio.
We have a bar of Plop here in the studio.
Later on, we'll push it around in a pushchair.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
So I'm opening the Plop. Let's give this a try. So we didn't get a chance to do this on the Eurovision show we had, which was epic. But Elaine very kindly gave us the Plop. never
that
get tired of saying
that. Wrong.
So I'm breaking off three pieces here for us to try.
Three
pieces. Redefining it being given the plop.
Three pieces of plop. Right. It's not really caramel in the side because it looks kind of clear.
It's weirdly kind of gooey,
translucent. But there we go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to think about.
Catherine,
this.
Chris, please eat your plop. Come on, we're not children. Eat your plop.
Okay,
eat your plop. How is it? What does plop taste like?
Interesting.
A little bit nutty.
Mm. Let me try this. How bizarre.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going with nutty.
Very odd, kind of. Because by the consistency, you're kind of expecting caramel. Mm. But it's really not. It's sort of a nutty...
Nutness.
Mm.
Hazelnutty.
It's a little bit country.
And the chocolate's kind of...
But also a little bit rock and roll.
softer, almost what? Like sort of. Well, obviously it tastes praline because it's nutty.
Praline?
I have no idea. I don't even like it.
Well, there are three more pieces here, so let's pass those over to you, Chris, so that you can dish those out. But yes. Mm. So our live tasting on the show this week, we seem to have food every week, which is really not a problem.
Oh no, this bit's disintegrated. There's plop everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, no. Hopefully it won't get in my keyboard.
We have plop all over the studio. I'm being passed another piece of plop. Yeah, the plop is going everywhere here. We've got plop all over.
I've got plop on my chin.
Oh my God, you really do.
So,
oh, it's gone all over the microphone. I've got plop all over my mic.
Ew. So, I googled plop.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to be caramel.
Okay. Doesn't taste like caramel.
No.
Wow.
But
I'm just going to Google, what is plop?
What is plop? Baby, don't hurt me.
Baby, don't squeeze me.
Don't eat me no more.
But according to one description on ScandinavianStuff.com, plop stands for joy and nostalgia. Plop is associated with successful birthday parties and eyes full of expectation. A Swedish favourite with a twinkle in the eye that has followed us since we were kids.
That sounded a tad creepy.
It did, didn't it?
This chocolate bar has followed you since you were a child.
And it doesn't say what it's supposed to have in it, but yeah, apparently it is a caramelly chocolate, according to some Googling.
But then if it's been following me since I was a child, the caramel has probably gone off a bit, which is why it tastes funny.
It's like if Pointless had a deathmatch round.
Well, Catherine.
Yeah, our guest tonight is here to talk to us because it's 20 years since the Doctor Who TV movie. So this came in sort of these wilderness years for Doctor Who.
So Doctor Who was off TV for a while, right?
It was, yeah, from 1989 until 2005. There was no kind of regular Doctor Who on the TV, you know, on a Saturday evening. And so this TV movie in 1996 was sort of that only little glimmer of Doctor Who for all those years. And it starred Paul McGann as the Doctor. So this was the only kind of Doctor Who that you could put in your eye holes as well as your ear holes in that time. There was kind of other stuff. There was sort of comic booky stuff
and
there was
and
audio stories, books. So there was, you know, there was still Doctor Who going on. And Doctor Who magazine and everything continued its run during that time. But yeah, it
there
wasn't
was no
really
Doctor
on TV. No. Mm.
It got cancelled, right? It got cancelled and then...
Yeah, in 1989 with the seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy. But then he came back and handed over to Paul McGann in the TV movie.
And that was, but that wasn't, was the TV movie made by the BBC? It wasn't, was it?
It was kind of a thing with, I think it was with Fox. I'm now just sort of clutching around in the dark. I think that's
well,
true.
Well, the film was set in the US.
It was, yeah. Well, I think it was filmed a lot in Canada.
Right.
Because I think Canada actually aired first in Canada on the 12th of May, 1996.
Right.
And then in the US a couple of days later and here on the 27th of May.
I mean, I absolutely loved it. I loved that film. I watched it so many times when it came out. I had it on video. It was fantastic.
It was kind of Hollywood Who with a, you know, with
it was
some
amazing
shooting and a car chase and things.
And it got me excited for the new Who coming back in 2005 as well. But we're joined on the line as our guest for this evening by someone far more knowledgeable about these things than us. I mean, as much as I love Doctor Who, I'm pipped to the post by most people when it comes to actual knowledge. But there's a fantastic website called the Gallifrey Times that has a lot of fantastic Doctor Who information, a great community around it. And we're joined on the line by Ben, one of the editors from the Gallifrey Times. Hello, Ben. Can you hear us?
Yep, I can. Hello.
Hello. Ooh. How are you doing this evening?
I'm very good. I'm enjoying the show.
Oh, thank you. We're glad to have you on. So Paul McGann, Doctor Who, and the wilderness years. What is all of that? You know, what does it mean to you?
Well, I wasn't born then, but I was born, but I wasn't old enough to be watching it. But
well, now we feel old.
Some of us did.
Well, yes. Now, a couple of the presenters feel old and one of them is sitting there smugly. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, but from what I've heard from a lot of fans, it was quite a worrying time. But there was still a lot going on, like comics and audio adventures. So there was always hope that it would come back.
I mean, I wasn't really old enough to be a fan of Classic Who when it was on. I remember being very, very little just after Doctor Who had finished on TV. And I remember my dad taking me to a theatre somewhere where there was like a Doctor Who live thing going on, where there was a Dalek and Sylvester McCoy was on stage. I have very dim memory of it, but I was far too young to really know what was going on or what it was about. So for me, the TV movie was the first Doctor Who in my lifetime that I was actually able to watch and consume. I was still not even a teenager then, but I was so into sci-fi and I loved Star Trek and I'd always heard of Doctor Who. And then this thing, it kind of exploded on the screen and it was amazing. And it let me discover all of the old Who and I was gutted that nothing new happened. I mean, what can you tell us about... why Doctor Who was off the air for so long?
I think a lot of it was the production team making a lot of bad decisions. And I think Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy's eras got a lot of flack for some of the decisions. And the ratings fell and it was getting quite stale. The BBC weren't putting the budget in. It wasn't loved by the BBC at the time. So it was kind of failing, but then people in the BBC around like the 90s who liked the show, grew up with the show, they wanted to try and bring it back. And then, so like the movie was their attempt to try and bring it back because it was always planned as a pilot for a new series.
But sadly, that wasn't meant to be. And it was another, 9 years before we saw any Doctor Who back on our screens.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a success in the UK, but it was mainly in the US where it had really bad ratings. And because the BBC needed the US for funding, and then it just didn't happen, which was probably upset for a lot of fans. But it did pave the way for the new series, and a lot of the new series is inspired, and things are taken from the movie. So it's definitely a good thing that it happened.
Well, I know one of the big things for me was that the movie almost seemed very standalone continuity-wise. And then as we approached the 50th anniversary special, a lot of Paul McGann's travels and audio adventures were acknowledged and we got the kind of regeneration sequence that we were really looking for. How much of that do you think was kind of planned in advance or how much of it was just shoehorned in because there was a 50th anniversary?
I think they probably thought about it beforehand because Paul McGann, even though he's only on screen for that one adventure, he's done so many audio adventures and comics, especially during the Wilderness era. He was the only Doctor there in the comics. So I think he was a very big part of it, even though he wasn't on screen for very long. And a lot of fans love him, so I guess they included him like to show that.
Yeah, I mean, I was really glad to see Paul McGann back on the screen, which I thought was amazing. But, I mean, you were talking before about Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy's adventures. Catherine, you've been watching some older Who on and off. What do you think of Colin Baker?
this
that
is
face
difficult
doesn't fill me with confidence.
Because I haven't got that far yet. I'm only up as far as Peter Davison at the moment. So.
He was one of my favourites. I have to say, I really like Peter Davison.
Yeah, I couldn't get through all of Tom Baker's era, I'm afraid. I ran out of steam partway through and had to skip to the end.
I'm guessing from that reaction, Ben, that Tom Baker is a favourite.
Yeah, he's my favourite, actually.
I mean, Tom Baker gets a lot of love, and I really like Peter Davison, and like the Tom Baker stuff, I feel is really good. But as Catherine said, it can get a bit heavy going. What do you love so much about Tom Baker?
I think Tom Baker's era was just when they got everything right, because the popularity of the show was at its peak, and they had this really brilliant actor. The writing was spot on, the companions and everything about it was just, it just worked. And that's why it went on. He was the longest running Doctor so far.
I have to say my favourite set of companions is Nyssa, Tegan and Adric, which is why I love when they were with Tom Baker, and I also love when they carried over to Peter Davison. I think they really added something, because I wasn't as big a fan of Peter Davison after they left.
Yeah. Well, I think all of the Doctors kind of, if you watch them for long enough, it's hard to say who's the best, because they're all so brilliant. And even Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy, like, a lot of people moan about them, but Colin Baker's stuff is actually really good. I watched his first episode, The Twin Dilemma, a few weeks ago, and it's really good. There's some really good writing and acting in there. And Sylvester McCoy was the first, like, classic Doctor that I saw. So I loved him as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think people do get a bad reputation for no reason, and it's got to be tough being the Doctor when the show gets cancelled. I'm sure that wasn't a particularly fun time for Sylvester McCoy at all there.
No.
But what about companions then? So of all of Doctor Who, you know, which is your favourite companion?
I'd say my favourite's Romana. I really like that sort of companion who's a match for the Doctor and clever and brilliant as well. But I also love K-9. I think everyone loves K-9.
Oh, K-9.
Who doesn't love K-9?
Can I have another unpopular opinion?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I could never really get K-9 either.
To be fair, right?
Just a little bleepy box.
I could never get K-9, but there was a sort of charm in the uselessness.
Yeah, that is
the little remote control K-9 toy that you have. It is really adorable.
Yeah,
I get that.
It is. I do like my adorable K-9.
Yeah, that makes me melt. But
not as a character.
More for merchandising thing then.
Well, maybe.
Sucker for the merch.
So Ben, tell us more about the TV movie and you know, your opinion and kind of, you know, facts and figures and things.
Yeah. Well, it starred Paul McGann. Obviously, you've already said that. It also had Eric Roberts as the Master, who might be unpopular, but I really didn't like him. I thought it was quite a pantomime villain. But it also introduced Daphne Ashbrook as Grace, and she went on to play the companion in some of the comics and audio adventures. And the movie introduced a lot of things, like the Doctor kissing the companion, the Eye of Harmony being in the TARDIS, and a lot of other things that have been brought into the new series. So for that reason alone, it's pretty awesome.
So it sets up a lot of continuity for New Who, which is great.
So are you a fan of the audio stories and things that involve Paul McGann as well? Or?
I haven't listened to a lot of the audio stuff, but the ones that I have are really, really good. I've heard a lot of good things from our readers at the Gallifrey Times and some of the other writers. I listen to a lot of them.
It's one of those things that I keep meaning to check out. Have you got any recommendations of a good place to start if I wanted to discover those?
The one I listened to recently called, I think it was The Light at the End, and that had about 4 or 5 Doctors in. So that was a really good one to listen to, because you get to hear all of them sort of interacting with each other.
Nice.
Now we've had a bit of chatter in our chat room, people saying that they loved Jamie as companions. Elaine says, Donna, need more companions like Donna. I have to say, in terms of new companions, I did really like Donna.
I was a fan.
Yeah. Leela as well. And Sarah Jane. Lots of older
Sarah
companions
Jane.
There getting some mentions as well. So
I think Rose and Jack were my first TARDIS team, and they'll probably always be my favourites.
Captain Jack Harkness. Gotta love him. So, you know, there are potentially people listening who don't watch Doctor Who. I know this may be a shocking fact. There may even be people
apparently
listening who
exist.
Don't like Doctor Who. What would your...
What?
I mean, for people that don't necessarily know what it is or aren't really have kind of heard of it but aren't really sure if it's their thing, how would you pitch Doctor Who to a non-fan or to a newbie?
Well, basically, it's a science fiction, science fantasy show about this Time Lord who travels through time and space in his ship with a companion, and he defeats all the evil aliens and stuff. So it's quite old school plot-wise. But the great thing about it is every week it's a new planet or a new destination, and it's a new alien. Every few years you get a new doctor. So it's always changing, and it's always fresh.
So you really get to explore the universe with the Doctor and his companions.
Yeah, and it's not just the show either, because if you look at Doctor Who, there's so much going on with fans, like, and there's the audio dramas, the books, the comics and magazines, there's conventions, there's online communities and social media. It's more than just a TV show, it's a whole world, and that's what I love about it anyway.
Yeah, there's always something more that you can go and discover. It's kind of, you're never going to run out, I don't think, of Doctor Who. I can't see a time when I'm not going to have anything new that I can go and look at. I'm just producing stuff faster than I can consume it. And I quite like that. You're never left out in the cold at the end of a box set.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's hundreds of episodes to listen to and probably thousands of audio dramas. So you always have something to listen to or watch.
There'll always be the Doctor. Standing alone at the end of the universe. But, I mean, you mentioned conventions and things to do outside of that. I've been to Comic-Con and other conventions where you can literally count how many 11th Doctors, 10th Doctors, that kind of thing there are, which is great. I love that. I've never met an angry Doctor Who fan. I'm sure there are plenty out there. But the people that dress up and go to conventions are some of the loveliest people you will ever meet.
Yeah, I think the only angry ones are the people sitting on their laptops in their bedrooms moaning about Stephen Moffat. But because we go to quite a few conventions, and like, I film for the Gallifrey Times, and we talk to the fans, and everyone we've spoken to is so nice, and they're so enthusiastic, like, go to great lengths with their costumes and cosplaying, and they're always like happy to talk to you, and they love talking about Doctor Who, and they're really friendly people. So it's a really great community.
So tell us more about the Gallifrey Times then.
Okay, so the Gallifrey Times is an online Doctor Who news website. So we post news, but we also do regular feature articles and opinion articles. And when we go to conventions, we film. So we have interviews with the guest stars and the fans to get their opinions. And we also engage with people on social media and do things like polls and competitions. So we really try and engage with the audience and, like, add to that community.
Yeah, I mean, it's the community is one of the things I love about the show. I mean, I come into Doctor Who for the episodes, but I stick around for the community, and I think it's I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, Catherine, you've been getting into a lot of things recently. I would say that you're a fandom fan. You are a fan of fandoms.
Yeah, I think if I really get into a show or a book or whatever it is I've really got into, I then want to seek out the people to share it with. I can't just watch TV alone. So, like, recently I just started watching The Walking Dead, and the whole way through I was just itching to go and find people on the internet to talk to. But then I thought, well, it's going to be spoilers, so I have to get to the end before I can... You know, before I can join in, because I don't have any people in the real world that I can talk to about it. And I get very, I need to share this experience I'm having. So, it's really part of it for me. So, you know, having the online communities is really important to my fandom.
What's the best thing, do you think, about the Doctor Who community?
The people, because the show inspires so much. Like, I recently got on an app called Whovians Amino, and it's basically like a social media for Doctor Who fans, and there's so many people on there, like, writing their own stories and doing drawings and, like, doing their own things and cosplaying, and so, yeah, it's just so amazing to see the effect that the show has on people.
Wow.
What was the app called?
Whovians Amino.
I've just Catherine's found them.
Found
I've just found them on Twitter, so I will do a tweet.
Yeah.
I'm searching the app store. Oh, there we go.
At Hoovian Zamino on Twitter. Ooh. If you want to find
it. I'm downloading it. There we go. So spreading the community right there.
Yep. There's also, you might quite like this, because there's Amino and then there's loads of other Aminos. So there's like Star Wars ones and Lego and Game of Thrones. There's loads of different communities. So yeah, I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, well, thank you for the recommendation there.
I'll check it out.
So before we let you go back and enjoy the rest of the show, what is exciting you about things to come with Doctor Who?
Well, in 2017, we've got Series 10 coming up, which is Stephen Moffat's last, but we've got a new companion, Bill. And then after that, we've got Chris Chibnall taking over, so the show is going to be completely different again. So there's a lot coming up that should be exciting.
A lot to look forward to by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Ben, any last messages for fans or listeners, fans of the show or not, what would your final message to them be?
Well, my final message would just be to carry on watching the show, enjoy it, and check out the Gallifrey Times for all the news.
Okay, and as always, we ask all of our guests to request a song, and you have indeed requested a song. So would you like to tell us what you've requested?
Do you know what? I honestly can't remember what I requested.
It was a song called Pineapple Girl.
Oh, yeah. This is a cool song by a band called Molotov Jukebox. They're not very well known, but I think they should be, and the song will definitely make you dance. So, yeah, let's hear it.
Well, thanks so much, Ben, for being our guest on the show tonight. We really appreciate your time. Don't forget, of course, you can watch the Doctor Who TV movie back if you want to watch that and catch up with what it was really like back in the day. It was amazing.
I think it was on Netflix. At least it used to be. I'm not sure if it still is.
I think it's definitely on Amazon Instant Video as well. But
okay,
yeah,
good.
Take a search online in your country, your area, you'll be able to find that. Thanks again, Ben, for being on the show.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Now, the stripping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of Peter Stringfellow at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Wallpaper, 6, 10 with heat. In a phone box, 8, only whilst wearing supersuit underneath. Hair, 3, split ends likely, conditioner expected later. White spirit, 8, when ingested, 999. Wires, 4. Turn off the mains first. Chicken, 9, deep fried and crispy, alternating gravy and beans. Mimi Marquez, 10, clad only in bubble wrap, later. Bed, alternating 5 and 6, 8 if done irregularly. Paint, 7, getting higher, 8 after an hour, 9 after 3. Lightheadedness expected. In public, 4, arrest likely, chance of bail later. Good. Willow, 6. Kilt optional, high chances of Kaylee later. Dogs, 3. Chum likely. Woof. And that ends the stripping forecast.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Now for this week's Game of Geeks.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It is time.
So Game of Geeks is our regular show tradition. Where Catherine pits Chris and I against each other. We have beautiful green buzzers in front of us that we have to whack. And we answer questions. Currently, Chris is winning this series. I beat Chris substantially last series. So this is
payback.
New territory.
Not happy for me.
So, obviously, we're going to need buzzers in a quiz so that I know who is guessing what. This week, Kez goes...
Nice.
We're sticking with the old phone theme.
From Bantilox. And Chris goes...
Oh, hang on.
Yeah. Old bit of old Nokia.
In it.
Lovely. But that's a bit long, so I think we'll make it a bit shorter.
How's that work?
There we go. Lovely.
There we go.
All right, so what's our first question then?
Coolio. Right, well, our first clue will be leading you to a website.
Okay, so this one's about a website.
It is indeed about a website.
All right.
So, yeah, get your internet hats on.
Fingers I've on always buzzers. Got my internet hat on.
Fingers on buzzers.
Okay. You've said fingers on buzzers a bit for me. I don't need to do that. Okay, this company was founded in 2008 and launched in London, its first international market, in November 2013. Chris.
TaskRabbit?
How on earth did you get that?
I think because Chris
I am a TaskRabbit. They did tell me all of those facts.
Right. Okay.
I may be using a slight advantage here.
Yeah, it's a bit of an advantage for Chris on that one. Thanks. Yeah. Never mind.
Well, I thought I would make a super obscure clue, the first one.
Yeah, they told us those.
Okay.
I didn't realize you'd had induction.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, we
did. Okay. So 3 points for Chris.
just like to thank the person that did my induction for the 3 points there.
Incidentally, if you live in London, you can hire Chris to put up flat pack furniture for you.
You can, yes. It's quite fun.
Sorry for the cough there.
So, next question.
Right, next question is leading you to a TV show.
Ah.
Good old.
These I'm better at.
Good old TV shows.
These I have less of a competitive advantage at.
Yep.
Okay, clue number one, fingers on buzzers. This TV show had a feature film spin-off released in the UK on 17th of April 2009.
Well, it's not Doctor Who.
No, it's not Doctor Who.
Oh, feature.
Oh, I know. This might be. I know this. I was going to say Firefly, but I think it was released before 2009 in the UK.
I think
the
it
film,
was
Serenity.
Serenity was before that.
Hmm.
No. Okay. Fine.
2009. Okay.
Whew. Clue number two. This show was first broadcast with two short series on BBC Four in 2005.
Oh. That could be anything.
Guess.
Battlestar Galactica.
On BBC Four.
They might have shown it. Maybe not.
Okay. So two short series on BBC Four in 2005. Right. Clue number three.
Okay, let's see if I can get this, 1 point out of this.
This is a British comedy television series that satirises the inner workings of the modern British government.
Is it The Thick of It,
Catherine? It is The Thick of It, Chris.
It was so obvious that I didn't guess it.
Yeah.
I know.
I didn't know that was on BBC Four.
I thought the short series thing might have given it away. I don't know.
But it makes sense now I know what the answer is, but I wouldn't have got one.
Okay, so there. Chris in the lead again this time.
Yeah, 4 points already. So clue number three is leading you to a film.
Okay,
so... In this film, we find out the significance of a mission that took place on December 16th, 1991.
Trying to buzz. Is it Captain America Civil War?
It is.
Yes.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, there we go.
What a great film.
3 points for Kez.
Fantastic.
So things are still very close.
You did. We saw it together, yes. Chris.
Although, in my defense, you have seen that film...
More than once. Say a lot more. I've
100%
seen it twice.
More.
Yes, 100% more. Okay.
Only twice. I thought it was more. But anyway.
Next up, we have theatre.
Okay.
God, right. Here we go.
Okay, calm. Fingers on buzzers.
Okay.
This play is scheduled to open on July 30th, 2016 at the Palace Theatre, London, England.
Okay.
Good for it.
Next clue.
Both ready for clue number two?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. The production's synopsis says, as past and present fuse ominously, both father and son learn the uncomfortable truth. Sometimes darkness comes from unexpected places.
Is it Harry Potter and the Cursed Child?
It is.
Yes!
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh,
2 points for Kez.
In the lead again.
Which, well, that's the end of Game of Geeks. So that can only mean one thing.
Oh, my word. This is so exciting. I get to push the button that I never normally get to push. This is the most exciting part of my day.
This week's winner is... Kez.
Woo!
You push that button every time during series three. I don't know what you're getting so excited about now.
And you're now neck and neck, so.
Things are getting tense. I see you there. I see you over the desks.
Uh-huh. So do I. That's how this desk works.
That's how eyes work.
Yes.
You're going down.
Am I really?
You're going down.
Am I really?
A little bit, yeah.
Well.
Right. I thought Chris was bound to have seen me reading the Wikipedia page for Captain America Civil War all day, trying to come up with clues. But alas, no.
Ah, thankfully.
I am as sneaky as I hoped.
You really were.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like fourth dimensional string theory, only less comprehensive.
Oh, Misty, you always seem to know how to pick them. What a lovely track that was.
Mm.
Yes. So, would you fund it?
We introduced
you to this week's Would You Fund It earlier in the show, and it was my idea for theatrical production / book / film of modern day fairy tales. Modern day fairy tales that are for the lad generation, yeah, bruv, whatever in it, like, yeah, yo.
Yes.
That kind of thing, right?
Hmm. For example, Banty Locks and the Three Lads.
Locks and the Three Lads. So we went through and we had Banty Locks and the Three Lads on earlier. We played that. It will be, we'll stick it up on the internet again for you to listen to.
Oh, must we?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I was just looking for the script, actually, because I thought I might do a bit of that live as well, just to get people back in the mood for voting. I was thinking you could do this for everything, right? Not just fairy tales, but you could do Shakespeare, for example. Do you not think Shakespeare would be cool if it was done?
A plague on both your houses, isn't it?
Yeah. But wow. Yeah, like, what are you on about, Juliet? Like, what even is that, fam? Like, you know. That talk like people that we're not, mm-hmm. i.e.
yeah,
lads.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I think that Banty Locks and the Three Bears really and the Three Bears? Banty Locks and the Three Lads worked really well. It was like at the table in the kitchen there was three pairs of night kicks from like JD's or something, yeah, and Banty Locks was like proper after a new pair of nights. So she thought, like, whatever, bruv, I'm gonna try these bad boys on. So she tried on this pair of shoes, like, and she was like, oh mate, these shoes are like bare tight, innit?
You're enjoying this way too much.
Yeah, you are.
But it's, yeah, as much as that's not how I actually talk, I think that there are a lot of people that do actually talk like that. And so making fairy tales that relate to those people might actually be a...
Well, shouldn't they be making them?
Well, yeah. But somebody's got to write them and somebody's got to fund them.
Yes.
So this is, you're funding the idea. My bants are just illustrative.
Well, let's...
my bants are only for illustrative purposes.
We get proper people that actually knew about bants to come in and actually make it a reality.
Yes. Yeah. A bants consultant would be necessary.
We need the consortium of bants.
But, the question you asked was, would you fund it? And let's have a look at those results, shall
we? We've still got 15 minutes of the show left, but how are we doing on the vote so far?
Can't say it's looking good.
Are people not wanting to fund it?
People are not wanting to fund it.
Oh, dear.
But there's still 15 minutes of the show to go, so do get your votes in gkly.co/fundit before the vote closes in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yes, we might actually be able to think of a way to bribe some people into voting for me.
Ooh.
Might we indeed?
Well, it ties into an entirely new thing that we are announcing for you this evening. Well, you're looking at me with wide eyes.
You waved at me as though I know what I'm supposed to be talking about.
The links and stuff.
I do know the links and stuff. Well, back in the day when we finished series three, we did our wonderful big live show and we gave away to those who came as VIPs a wonderful bag of Geekly merch.
Yeah, we had tote bags, mugs, T-shirts, stickers. A lot of really cool things we had in there.
Sucker for the merch.
Indeed. Oh, yeah.
But I really liked it. It was quite simple. It was green, the white logo. Our regular cartoonist, Josh Hine, tweeted out earlier with a picture of one of the tote bags, which is great. I've seen a few people wearing our Geekly T-shirts out and about and around the place, which is always nice to see. But one of the questions we get is, where can I get one?
Yes, a lot of people after these got out there wondered if they could get one or get extras if they came to the live show. So we here in Tiny Kettle Land put our heads together and, after putting on several tiny kettles, launched the Tiny Kettle Store.
It's probably worth pointing out for those people that don't know what Tiny Kettle is, since we haven't actually mentioned it on the show before.
That's the production company that makes this show.
Yes, so Tiny Kettle is a production company that, that believe it or not, the three of us do productions with.
Would you believe it?
The Geekly Chronicles being one of those.
Yes, but if you like a lot of Geekly on your merch, you can head over to our store at store.tinykettle.com, and there you will find all of our wonderful Geekly items. We've got bags, t-shirts and mugs in stock, and we might even surprise you with some stickers if you do place an order.
Yeah, and we're always looking for new things we can stick our logo on, so if you've got any ideas, please let us know. Mm. Somebody suggested mouse mats at one point, but that was 1993 when mouse mats were still relevant.
Yes.
Yeah, also the show on cassette.
Yes.
Yes, the show on cassette tape would be good. I know
we
have considered doing that in the past, and I think that now that we're in a new studio,
now in our brand new studio with not a tape deck in sight.
No, but the new studio is much more kitted out. We could probably
put a tape deck.
Get
in
a tape
new
deck much easier in here.
Anyway, you can place your orders for those things, but in Kez's last ditch attempt to get some more votes for funding Banty Locks and the Three Lads.
Yes.
What have you done?
I have created a promo code to launch our store with. So if you would like to get some merchandise off of the store, you can do so with 10% off for the next week. So 7 days from right now, this promo code will be valid. You can get 10% off anything in the store, and the promo code, for anyone listening to this podcast, we're not going to tweet it out or anything, this is just an exclusive for listeners, is Bantilox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
You can see how to spell that on the Would You Fund It page.
Yeah, so go to the Would You Fund It page, which is
gkly.co/fundit.
And check out the word Bantilox and use that as your promo code. And while you're there, you can just go ahead and vote yes on the Banty Locks.
Is there any kind of capital letter jiggery pokery in that code, or is it all lowercase
or uppercase? Doesn't matter how you type it in. The magic Tiny Kettle computer will figure out that you mean Banty Locks and will give you 10% off your order.
Oh, lovely. Yay. So there you go. We've launched some merchandise. We've launched a store. There you go. It is yours. Enjoy. Enjoy it, please.
And you've got just under 5 minutes left to vote in the Would You Fund It.
Oh, we've had a request for Geekly Ye Leotards.
Those kind of bright green, like slinky suit things.
Yeah.
I can see it working well as an item of merchandise. I don't know if I would wear, I mean, you know, we've got to try them, but I don't know if I would wear it, you know, generally in life.
A onesie, though.
Around the house.
I mean, I like, because we're green, because the show is quite green, I think that at the end of the day, if we had a nice green, maybe like a green dinosaur onesie, but the dinosaur also had a microphone with the Geekly logo on it, that'd be quite cool.
I'm on board with this idea.
Yeah.
Right.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like if Pointless had a deathmatch round.
Well, she loves the disco.
Apparently
that's what I got from that song. Mm-hmm. And that was a request by Elaine, so thank you very much. And thanks, Elaine, again for your wonderful Eurovision show with us last weekend.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was very fun. Epic.
Oh, so come on then.
From Eurovision to Bantavision.
And what are the results?
Let's have a look at those results. Well, despite your best efforts to bribe people with merch, Banty Locks and the Three Lads, sadly, will not be funded.
Oh, that is... I can't believe two-thirds of the people went for Do Not Fund. I mean, I love, but Banty Locks.
Yeah.
Think of the Bants in it. I should have said that if people don't vote to fund it, then I will talk like that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's...
that might have helped.
you might be a little bit lonely.
A little bit lonely. You're all going to abandon me then. So I'll be sat here doing like the geekly bants in it and nobody will listen and you will all have disappeared and gone on to do better shows.
We'll all be at Nando's.
Oh dear. So I feel like this Would You Fund It's probably thoroughly confused some international listeners, but at the same time...
Oh, I'm sure it has.
I find it fun. So we have to check back on the next show to see the next Would You Fund It. I believe, Catherine, it is your turn again next time.
It is. So I have to think up an idea.
Something else. So the last time yours was the Rickman Factor, right?
It was, yeah. That wasn't funded either.
No, it was not. No,
my first,
pretty niche, I think.
My first one was Jammy Dodgers, and Chris, yours was...
The
Crystal Mayors.
From...
Crystal Mayors kind of has it for me.
That was quite a good one.
That was funded. I seem to remember.
It was, yeah. So so congratulations there to you. And, of course, bad luck me this week. What a shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, I live to bant another day.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Dweeb in the chat room says that she would listen. Elaine says, that's banty social.
Okay.
yeah.
The puns are strong with this one.
I have to say that... You know, this one might not have been funded, but I think there was more chat in the chat room about this than we've ever had about any of our other Would You Fund It's.
So there you go. So
it certainly
it was more of a controversial
one. Got everyone punning and thinking, and
it inspired more banter than we could ever have predicted. Really.
Yeah. So really, it's been a success, not in votes, but in bants.
Yes, because as we know, you can
engagement.
You can take your bants to the bank.
Take your bants to the bank.
Oh dear.
Totally cash them out.
Would a bants banker be a banter? A banter.
All right then. Yes.
Oh, that is like very good.
Before we try and banter ourselves into oblivion. That's
proper grizzly.
Oh yeah. So thanks very much for the for all of the votes there for the Would You Fund It, and
said without a hint of resent for those who had voted against.
Indeed. But we've created quite a lot of content for this series, haven't we? It's been quite good so far. And when the show is not on, if you want to listen back to any of the individual segments, we've been putting those up on our YouTube channel. So we'll tweet out some links to those a little after the show once this week's are up. But things from this week, like the little Beatles medley, Bantilox and the Three Lads, those will be up on YouTube as well. We even have things like the Trump song from last series that as Donald Trump has increased in power and influence, the song has just become even more relevant.
Yes.
We may have to play that again at some point,
I think. We may do, yes.
More and more worryingly true.
Yes. So you can check out all of the other content from the series, the little bits and pieces on YouTube. So we will be posting links to that because it's quite exciting.
Mm.
There's lots of stuff there.
You can consume Geekly in bite-sized bits.
Mm.
Yes.
In your ear holes.
In your ear holes.
Mm.
Bite-sized bits for your
As
ear
it
holes.
As it was intended. Ear bites.
Right.
Bit like earbuds, only.
Bite-sized.
Ear nibbles. Maybe this will be my Would You Fund It for next time.
Ear nibbles. What are ear nibbles?
Kind of don't want to know.
Is that like
really?
Food for your ears?
Yes.
Food that you store in your ears?
But not like really healthy, like not like a meal for your ears, but more like a sort of, you know, like a snack, like an M&M or a sausage roll.
You need to put an M&M in your ear.
No, the ear equivalent of an M&M or a sausage roll.
Like, true story.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 4 years old... You know the Skittles, the sweets?
Yeah. Taste the rainbow.
I don't know if they're available all over the world, but Skittles, the little sweets, like round, hard-shelled candy with kind of softer inside, but it's all...
So it's kind of chewy, isn't it?
It's kind of chewy sugar. It's not. There's no chocolate involved. It's just that. But with kind of different coloured food colouring on the top and a...
Sort of and different flavour. They do sort of a sour version on that, don't they?
Yeah. Back when I was four, they just had the standard Skittles. Mm-hmm. And I was delighting as a four-year-old in popping a Skittle up my nose, blowing so it came out, and then eating it, as you do. But I was getting more and more daring, four-year-old me, with these Skittles, and I was putting them further up and further up and further up, and then I couldn't blow one out. And I had a Skittle lodged up my nose. So,
and some say it's still there to this day.
Well, the first ever hospital visit I remember having... was to go to a hospital to have a sweet, a piece of candy removed from my nose that I had put there as a four-year-old.
Oh
dear.
Oh wow.
And as the doctor was kind of in there with the forceps or whatever they were trying to pull the what are the kind of
like tweezery
Tweezery clampy things? What are they called?
Grabby things. I'm not sure.
Tweezery clampy. Are they not forceps?
They might be. I don't know.
Well, they had them up my nose anyway, and all of this kind of red started blushing down. Ugh. And I remember my my dad being, "Oh no, there's so much blood," and the doctor just turned around and said, "That's food coloring."
Skittle juice.
Skittle juice coming out of my nose. Me. So the moral of the story and why I would perhaps not encourage your would you fund it for ear food is that sticking food into...
No, it's not literal food. It's like the ear equivalent. So it'd be like little sounds that your ears would like.
I don't get it.
So say listening to a whole 2-hour radio show would be like an ear meal.
Right.
It's a meal for your ears.
Okay.
It's an audio...
It's just an ear snack.
Okay. Whereas an audio snack would be more like one song or... a pleasing sound, like a bird tweeting.
So I've just
tweeting.
Revealed like personal stuff about my past for no reason at all.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But well, with mental image.
Because sort of nose snacks would be little pleasant smells that you could smell.
Well, the Skittle did smell very pleasant.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, with that in your minds, we must leave you.
Yeah, we've had a great show this week. Huge thanks to Ben from the Gallifrey Times for coming on as our guest. Thank you to everyone for listening, for the requests, to everyone in the chat room that's been chatting away there. We love it when you get involved, so thanks to everyone for that. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
So from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.
In it.